you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Hey, Great News Radio listener, this is Pastor Jason Schiffo, and it is Friday, July 26th. And if you're listening and you're wondering, why do we hear Pastor Jason and not Mark Burns? Well, Mark is on a worldwide gospel tour, going to unreached people groups, uncharted places, doing the Lord's work and spreading the gospel far and wide. So today I want to spend some time sharing a message from my heart to your heart and something that's been happening in my life lately. This past weekend, I took my boys out to the woods. More specifically, we went to Moraine View State Park right outside of Leroy, Illinois. I believe it's in Ellsworth. And we got a campsite that was right on Lake Dawson. And the reason that my boys and I went out to go and do this was because we wanted to have an opportunity to talk about what it meant to walk with character and integrity, to be a man after God's own heart, to have conversations outside of our normal flow of life that talked about what it meant to live a life following God. And so as we had these conversations, we did it around Psalm 101. And so let's take a moment and pray and read Psalm 101 together, and then let's talk about it for a few moments. And hopefully, my hope is that you will be like my sons and I were, challenged to walk differently in this world as we follow God together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, the unique and awesome opportunity and responsibility of following you, of bringing your good news message, not only with our words and our deeds, but with our very lives. Father, we pray that today you would send us into all kinds of uncharted places where unreached people are, that we might bring your glory to them. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 101 says this, I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. So that's Psalm 101, and that's a psalm of David, a psalm written by David. And it really is an interesting psalm, and it begins, you know, the first four verses with these statements. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. I will walk with integrity of heart. I will not set before my eyes worthless things. So right out the gate in this psalm, it's all about beginning with us. What will we do as we follow God? What are we going to do? What will our lives be marked by as we are following God? It begins and said, I will sing of steadfast love and justice. Now, that's not just that I will sing out, that I will, you know, make music, because that's actually the next part of the verse. I will make music is the next part. We sing with our lives of the steadfast love and justice, which means that our hearts sing, our lives sing, that there's a joy that comes from knowing the steadfast love and justice of the Lord, that He is just and He is the only one who can love us in a steadfast way, whose love doesn't waver, whose justice is always just and right. And because of that, because we know that as Christians, we have this kind of joy that comes from that. And then it says we'll make music, which means we'll worship. because we know of his steadfast love. We know of his justice. We worship him. And from that, what do? We ponder the way that is blameless. And even David asks in verse 2 this question. He says, oh, when will you come to me? So David says, I'm going to ponder the way of the blameless. I'm going to ponder what it means to walk in your ways. I'm going to ponder what it means to be in your word and see your word working itself out in my life. And Father, what I want more than anything is for you to come to me, to speak to me as I'm doing this, as I'm reading this word. It's interesting because we know from a New Testament perspective that when we read the word, the Spirit reads it with us. The Spirit reads it to us. And we have a spiritual understanding because the Spirit is the author of God's word, the Scriptures. And so David says, I want my life to sing of your steadfast love and justice. I want to worship you, to make music. And I want to ponder, I want to think, I want to meditate upon what it means to walk in the way that is blameless. This is interesting in Psalm 101 because in the first Psalm, Psalm 1, it begins by saying, I will not walk in the way of the wicked. I will not stand near sinfulness, and I will not sit down. David begins the Psalms by talking about a progression that we ought not to follow towards evil, but instead, what does he say in Psalm 1? That we meditate on God's law, that we meditate upon his word. David thinks that maintaining a life of character and integrity, maintaining a life of following God, comes from pondering the way that is blameless. And the only way that's blameless is God's way. So it means to ponder God's way. And in all the places where that's difficult and that's hard, he says, oh, when will you come to me? When will you come to me? And then he says this, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Now listen, we know David's story, don't we? David didn't always walk with integrity, did he? David had some significant problems. And yet the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Now, how can David be a man after God's own heart if David is an adulterer, if David is a murderer? Listen, David's not perfect. None of us are perfect. David made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But here's the thing, is when David made a mistake, when David sinned, he didn't run from God. He ran to God. See, originally in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sin, what is the first thing that they do? They run from God. They hide. They were naked. They were ashamed and they hid themselves. And when we sin, when we fall, when we mess up, what do we tend to do? We tend to run from God, not to God. And what made David a man after God's own heart, after God's own heart, was that he was actively pursuing God's heart. It doesn't mean that he didn't mess up, but it meant that David was constantly seeking God, even in his failures. He wasn't running from God. He was running to God. And David says, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Now listen to this. David says, I will. It begins with David, but then where does it begin to flow out of? Into his house. See, ministry begins with you, and then it moves into your house. And it begins by you making a statement, kind of driving a stake in the ground and saying, I will. What will you do? I will exude a kind of joy where my life sings about God's steadfast love and God's justice. I will worship him. I will ponder the way that is blameless. And then what will I do? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. This is where my kids and the people inside of my house, the people who know me best and see me mess up the worst, they see if I'm walking with integrity of heart or not. And then David says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. And that means that we begin to look around and we begin to take stock. What is the value of the things in our lives? Are we clinging to things that have no value in our lives? Now, this is not a statement where we say, well, I'm just going to eradicate everything that is worldly from my life and I'm only going to live kind of a spiritual life. Now, we live a life in the Spirit and we are part of this world. But the thing is that we do not look at things and ascribe to them a value that they don't have. Worthless things are worthless. And we need to understand that everything has a differing value. And then we sometimes, I think we need to sit down and say, what value is this going to bring to my life? Is this going to take away from my life, or is it going to add to my life? Is this going to make me more of a man after God's own heart, or is this going to drag me clawing and screaming away from God's heart? I think we have to ask those questions. David says, I walk with integrity of heart within my house, and I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Now, when I think of these verses, the first three verses that David says here, his I will statements, beginning with him and then flowing into his house, he talks about walking. He talks about the way that he lives and he moves in the world. What's interesting is that from a New Testament perspective, we do this because of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And so it's interesting that Romans chapter 8 tells us that we don't walk according to our own desires. We don't walk according to our own strength. We walk in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was given to us. And we don't just walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we also walk according to the Spirit, which means we're listening. Didn't David said, when will you come to me? David's having this conversation with God. We are in the same way having that conversation. Spirit, lead me and guide me today. Spirit, keep my eyes from worthless things. Spirit, keep my hands from worthless things. It's interesting that when my wife prays for me, these are the things that my wife prays for. She prays for the protection of my hands and my eyes and my ears and from worthless things. She prays against worthless speech that I might utter to please people or to just be liked. And so we need to walk according to the Spirit. In fact, Romans 8 goes on to say, you, however, are not in the flesh. This is for those of us who are in Christ. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so those of us who have the Spirit, when we say, I will, we do that by the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's really interesting to me, because there is only one verse in the Bible that talks about this kind of penultimate sin. And that penultimate sin in Mark chapter 3 verses 28 through 30 is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a lot of conjecture around what does it mean, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, I love how John Piper calls it the offense of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy, he says, is the willful determined opposition to the present power of the Holy Spirit. See, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is standing opposed to the present power that we have of the Spirit to move in the world, to live and to minister, to love and to offer mercy and forgiveness and bring the truth. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to stand in willful opposition of God's voice who desires to speak to you and work through you. See, the only way we can do the I will is when we are listening to the Holy Spirit and following God. It's the only way that it happens. And it begins first with you and then into your home. And then as we see the psalm progress, it will move out into the world. Now, that's interesting because most of us, when we order ministry, the world, then our house, then us. I know people who attend far more Bible studies than they ever have devotions. And I don't say that in a condemning way. I say that because I know that it's true. I have experienced times in my own life where you wrestle to do the I will before we do the we will. And David says we need to begin with the I wills. And friends, you won't if you don't do it by the strength of the Holy Spirit. You will do exactly what John Piper says. You will be willfully determined to stand in opposition to the present power of the Holy Spirit. You will live opposed to God's voice that wants to speak to you and His power that wants to work through you. This is why over and over and over again in the Bible, Jeremiah 34, Matthew 11, 13, twice in chapter 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, Luke 14, John 12, Acts 28, Isaiah 6, keep going, Deuteronomy 29, 31, 32, Psalm 69, 119, Isaiah 29. I can keep going and going where the Bible talks about, incline your ear to me, listen to me. He who has ears, hear what the Spirit says. This idea that we need to keep listening, inclining, craning our ears out to hear what God's Spirit has to say to us. So that we can continue to walk in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because we are not the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells within us. And then it moves out into the world. And it says this, I hate the work of those who fall away. We should hate the work of those who fall away. Those who once were, those who believed and now do not believe, those who have fallen from grace. We should hate that. And not hate that in that we turn and we hate them, but we should hate that that happened. We should hate that sinfulness has that kind of effect. We should hate that our brothers and sisters have moved farther from the Lord instead of closer. And then he goes on to say, whoever has a haughty look or an arrogant heart, I will not endure, which means that we need to be those who say, listen, haughtiness and arrogance, it doesn't have a place in following Jesus. He goes on to say that he won't put up with lies. He won't put up with deceit. He won't put up with any of those kinds of things. Why? Because they have no place in the Christian life. I remember a number of years ago, I was invited to a Super Bowl party. And I was sitting there at the Super Bowl party, and it's kind of like it's halftime, and the halftime show is going on. And all of a sudden, like, the conversation took this, like, marked turn. And guys were sharing jokes, and the jokes began to, like, get near the line and then start to cross the line. And as the jokes crossed the line, so did the language. And I remember saying to one of the guys, I said, hey, listen, like, if this is what we're going to do, then I'm just going to go. Because I just really don't think we should, this is what we should be doing. And it was kind of a really awkward silence, and I kind of like, oh, Schiff, oh gosh, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. But somebody needs to take a moment and say, no, we are not going to do this. See, because we begin with us, I will sing of your steadfast love. I'll ponder the way that's blameless. I want to walk with the integrity of heart. I want to, and then into my house and then out into the world at Super Bowl parties and at the grocery store and at work, wherever the heck I'm at, I want to walk in faithfulness. I want my life to sing of the steadfast love and justice of God. I want to have it exude to the best of my ability that I'm trying to walk blamelessly in His ways. And you see, what's interesting is that a lot of times when we get around those situations, we want to try and find some point of building bridges or some point of trying to make a connection, you know, because we don't want to be the guy who kind of just throws it down. And so we try and be what's called like-minded. And it's interesting because I was reading something and this person said, so often when we're in the world, we try as Christians to become like-minded. And Jesus never called us to be like-minded. Jesus called us to be love-minded. To be love-minded. And that's what we need to do. We need to be love-minded, not be looking to like, how can I tell a joke so I can somehow fit in here? How can I do this so I can somehow fit in here as I'm in the world trying to live out of the world? How do I do this? You do this by being love-minded, not like-minded. You don't have to build bridges of understanding. You have to build bridges of love. You have to love people, even in their wrongness, even in their deceit, even in their, when it says here in the psalm that morning by morning I'll destroy the wicked of the land. For us in our context, that doesn't mean that we go on a rampage or a killing spree. That means that we destroy the wicked of the land with the love of Christ. Because nothing destroys wickedness more than love. Nothing kills wickedness quicker than compassion, than empathy, than forgiveness, than mercy. That cuts off the evildoers of the city of the Lord. And that's what we need to be about. But here's the interesting thing, is that following Jesus, it's a long game. Following Jesus isn't instant gratification. Following Jesus is not just driving through the drive-through and getting your meal quickly. Following Jesus is a long game. It reminds me of the book that I read by Eugene Peterson. It's called Long Obedience in the Right Direction. But as one of my elders pointed out to me recently, he said the real danger in the long game is that during the longer the game gets, the more you try and figure out how to fudge the rules to win. And how many of us have done that? How many of us have tried to figure out how to change the rules, to do just enough to get by, to sing of His love and justice as much as we believe we have to look like we love the Lord, to worship just enough so it looks like we like what we're doing, to ponder the way blameless just enough but so that it doesn't impede on the life that we really want to live, to walk with an integrity of heart just when people see me. See, the longer we follow the Jesus, the more we try and fudge the rules. And friends, I want to beg you to not do that. Because it's built into our DNA to try and do that. And listen, God was playing the long game since the beginning of the Bible to coming of Christ and all the way into Revelation. And never between the two covers of that wonderful book that we call the Bible did God ever try and fudge the rules to make it work in His favor. In fact, He takes all of the dings as He walks with character and integrity all the way through that book. And so, friends, we can't do it, but God can. And He has sent us His Spirit, which dwells inside of us, so that we can walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Friends, I've enjoyed my time with you today, and I hope you have a great day. I want to challenge you to get into God's Word, to sing of His love and His justice. I want to challenge you to worship at church this weekend like maybe you haven't worshiped in a while. I want to challenge you to ponder the way that is blameless, and I want to challenge you to walk in such a way that it affects the house that you live in, it affects the neighborhood that you live in, it affects the world that you live in. For the glory of God and for the fame of the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Have an awesome day.